All right, Cole. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome to my greenhouse.
Oh.
Yeah. I am growing experimental crops. We are trying
hot.
To... It is very warm.
Hot.
Yeah, what?
Growing pot.
A little bit over there in the corner, and I am trying
That's
to maximize.
Hot in the corner.
I am trying to
hot in the grow light, losing inhibition.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Losing my religion.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
That's fine. The grow light. Losing my inhibitions.
Okay. All right. No, sorry. I
Stoned Al Yankovic over here, just laying out classics.
Keeping it weird, Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sorry. I was too slow. I think that I've been partaking of my own supply,
dude.
Yeah.
When I listen to the show, I'm like, that guy's got to be.
Although those ideas.
You know, dude.
Ooh, dude. Hey, thanks, Hannibal Lecter, for that fun sound. Yeah, no,
that's
no.
What you do after you take a big,
juicy
tote.
After you wheeze the gonch.
Yeah, wheeze the gonch. Don't wheeze the gonch.
Yes.
What I gotta get it, put it in ya.
Around the world.
Man, me and the band have started sending each other Red Hot Chili Peppers gifts. And there's a bunch of real good ones. Just a lot of him going up to the camera going, yeah!
That's a common move of the Kiedis.
Yeah, Kiedis loves to just go walk up to you and just go, yeah! Like, can you imagine asking that guy a yes or no question?
No.
What a fucking torturous experience that would be. Like, hey, Anthony, do you want to go grab some coffee? Yeah.
All that I have for Anthony Kiedis is directions, which are away from me.
Yeah, yeah. I need Anthony Kiedis to go die at the bottom of a sewer. Like, get away from me.
He can live down there, but it can't be pleasant, is the thing.
No. It has to be in a sewer in a different city.
Yeah.
Like, geographically.
Like a worse city,
world.
Like Dallas.
Yeah. Or a city on Mars.
Yeah.
Get thee to the sewers of Mars, Kiedis.
Yeah. You can't have any of my biologically engineered dank nugs.
No.
I've been messing around with CRISPR, Gary.
Well, I don't know what that is.
I believe I've explained CRISPR to you before. It is a cutting edge new gene editing technology that I believe uses viruses in order to basically rewrite part of the genome.
Oh, interesting. I that vaguely rings a bell.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there are kits that you can get, which seems wildly dangerous. But you know, I've just been messing around, and over here we've got my coconuts.
Oh,
yeah. I've got these coconut trees.
Why is that one crying?
I think that because it has the name of a bad game inside of it. What I have done is I have played God very irresponsibly, and I have written the names of different video games into the genetic code of these guys. When we crack these bad boys open, we should be able to look inside and see the name of the game that we're going to cover.
And we get the joy of cracking open a bunch of coconuts.
I know, it's harder than you think.
It's really hard. I spent like 40 minutes once trying to do it on a like outside in a parking lot.
Yeah,
like on a weird, you know, like a telephone pole had once been there.
Yeah,
you know, the strut for a telephone pole, but the telephone pole was no longer, and just me just like bashing this coconut.
Yeah,
trying to break it open.
One time I tried to open one in order to like use it as a beverage container. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you want the milk out of it, you just drill a hole into it. I took a couple of swings at it with an axe, and I was like, this is dumb. I'm going to cut off a finger. Then I just used a hacksaw to cut it in half.
You need a saw for this fruit.
Yes.
What a dumbass fruit. shouldn't need a tool for a fruit.
No, not
no
at
tools
all.
For fruits.
No tools for fruits.
For a fruit.
Yeah.
So let's crack open to some coconuts.
Yeah, well, I would like you to pick one.
Okay, I think that one right there has got a nice smile.
Okay, cool. And I will take this down here, and I'll use my sawzall around the edge here, and inside it says
"World."
It says "Lost in Blue."
Fuck, I'll say it,
Gary. They did it again.
I don't care how much people like this game. Dumb and boring. I hate it.
I kind of think it rules.
It's boring as hell. It's so tedious, and the dialogue is bad, and your companion sucks.
Yeah, no, I will not disagree with you there.
Why not just play Harvest Moon?
Let's get into it.
this is Abject Suffering.
Uh-huh.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is the show where what we got to get it put in. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We can't just have one word jokes on the show, Gary. It can't just be when we need an escape hatch, we'll say, yeah.
The joke is RHCP. That's the one word.
Okay.
Before we get into this, I have a character I've been working on.
Okay. All right.
Can I run it by you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. In this scenario, you are walking through a liquor store and, you see me and I am, I have samples.
Okay.
At a liquor store.
Am I playing me? Because if I'm playing me, I would avoid you.
You're playing a version of you that would not.
Okay.
So.
All right. I'm on my way to the bourbons. La da da. Navigating samples. My steps.
Samples here.
Oh, I don't know. Free booze. Hey, why not? I'm about to drive.
Hey, oh yeah.
Hi. What you got there?
Oh, hey, my name's Elliot.
Hi, Elliot. And my name's Cole.
Hi.
But it's spelled with a C because I'm a different version of me who would talk to you.
Yeah, and my Elliot is spelled with three L's.
Hmm.
Elliot. Sir, do you like beer?
Yeah, I enjoy beer.
Here's the problem with beer, I think. I'm going to pitch you on this brand new beer. I started my own beer.
Dangerous talk here, buddy. You got problems with beer?
Well, I'm going to improve beer.
I'm skeptical.
Here's the thing about beer. Beer is just for children. Like, it's always like, hey, party. You know, why don't you get some suds and pour this on a tit? Beer for children.
I do find that beer does the beer makes me think it makes me feel pressured to partay. And I don't know that I'm even ready to party, let alone partay. So proceed. How have you made this beer more for adults?
Beer for adults. That's the concept.
Okay.
Finally, beer for adults. Rather than, you know, so as opposed to like pulling up to a Suds McBrew or whatever, why not treat yourself to a Roth IPA?
Oh, for adults? Okay. Now, here's my question. If I drink from this before I'm 65, will I suffer some kind of penalty?
Mm-mm.
No,
just the name. And it's just marketing. It's all marketing right. For adults.
You know? So this is not like a Nathan for you style. Like I buy the beer now and you keep it for me.
Nope. It's just beer I made in my garage and I am marketing it towards adults.
Okay. All right.
You know, adults with grown-up jobs like porters or adults that are clear-cut loggers.
Okay.
Or millers. Right.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Clever. You know? Okay. What have you done with the properties of this beer other than give it a name, other than give it the admittedly clever name of the Roth IPA?
Mostly I've just changed the label, but it's largely because it's for adults and it's by adults.
Okay. Okay.
Like I'm an adult and I'm somebody, you know, so I am, let's say I'm a cultured adult.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Then maybe I want to have a drink of my iLambic pentameter or if I want to talk about, you know, if I want to be an adult that is, getting up in age, maybe a Bud Wisdom.
All right. So Elliot,
I am but wiser than I was yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, Elliot. I think I know a podcast that you would really like.
Yeah.
It's called The Pitch.
Oh, well maybe my partner doesn't do that show with me anymore and I need an outlet for this stuff. So when I wake up from a dream and I think, you know, a million Miller Genuine Draft Dodger, I need somewhere to put it.
So, that's very good. Okay. All right. Yeah. No. Yeah.
You come home from your job, you know, in the courts fighting for Dos Equity and your Bush Light. Like you know, it's beer for adults. Beer for adults, man.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. You go to see the new Star Wars movie and then Anakin comes down and says he's killed all the Yinglings.
Yeah, exactly. You know, good. Welcome, adults.
Yeah.
Beer for adults.
Yeah.
I'm selling it. Would you like to buy some? I mostly change the labels in my garage.
Okay. No, I like this. It's just black and white printer paper. That's all I have time for.
It's all I have money for. Yeah. Nobody's buying these beers.
No.
So in fact, I'm not supposed to be here actually.
Well, that's why the table's on wheels. Well,
yeah. Please don't even, tell.
That table's not even yours. You're just pulling these out of like a bladder in your jacket.
I'm hoping to sell the chair I'm sitting on if I can take it with me. If I tell that I brought it from home.
Okay. No. I will take a six pack of this.
All right. Here's a six pack of Roth IPA.
Okay. All right. Were there any other good puns you wanted to get out there?
Nope. Those were the ones I came up with.
Gotcha.
In my garage. I had one based on being a parent called like, do what I saison, not what I dunkle. decided to save that one. So also one about being married, that is, what's good for the Gosa is good for the gander.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something with Gosa. So
Pokemon Gosa to the Poles, or a bunch of, that's more of the kid.
Yeah, Pokemon Gosa to the Kolsch, yeah.
Yeah. Go. That's beer for kids, which is what beer is for now.
Right, right.
So I figured it's finally time for an adult beer.
Well, no. So here's what you do. You got to zig then zag. You say, hey, guess what? Beer, it's just for kids. I'm special because I have beer for adults. You parlay that success in rebranding beer for adults. Then you turn around and say, these kids are underserved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you make it for kids again.
Sell it back to them.
Yeah.
Or kids could want the adult beer. You know, like we could market it to adults and kids will be like, that's forbidden beer. It's not like this kid's beer that we like to drink.
That did not work for the Arch Deluxe.
Like, yeah, candy clown brand brand Pilsners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So forgot to take my Pilsner. Pilsner organizer. You know?
Forgot to take my Pilsner. There's I dropped my Pilsner.
Yep, exactly. You know, lots of beers for adults. So do you want to, that's a good idea. Would you like to go into business with me and live in my garage with me?
I mean, so you have the house, but you just live in the garage?
It's not my house.
Yeah. Oh, cool. All right. Well, if I can have the chair, I'll have the whole chair, but I'll only need the edge.
You get the chair. Yeah, I'll sleep on the floor.
Okay.
Cool. In exchange for some business expertise.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No. Handshake deal, buddy.
All right. Oh, let's get out of here. The monger is about. Let's get out of here. The liquor monger kills us and scene. So, anywho, I have another couple stories too, to so we don't have to talk about this boring ass game, but I'll save those.
Yeah. Do we even introduce ourselves? You're Gary and Cole. Okay.
Yeah, we introduced ourselves. Yeah. We haven't introduced the game yet.
No, no,
we said what it is. We haven't talked about it other than that you like it because you've got the Harvest Moon disease and the... And that's all.
Yeah.
That's
so all, yeah. So this was demanded by Gabe, and what feels a little bit like a backdoor waff, but there's some interesting subject matter here at the very least. Gabe says, an adventure and survival game, quite tedious and directionless at times. I still enjoyed the series. Lost in Blue, you play as a young man named Keith, who washes up on an island, and you have to survive and find a way off of it while also taking care of another survivor, this young girl. Who you step on her glasses when you first find her, and she is basically helpless.
Yes. This is a series. Survival Kids was the first one.
I had no idea this was related to Survival Kids. I like that game.
It features kids surviving.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That was my first clue.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is, it's part of that, series because I was just suffering. I'm going to do this on air. I need to discipline my cat.
Okay.
Fuck it. Come on, dude. Get down. Like he stepped behind my monitor and I heard the something disconnected from a USB sound, but ooh, I didn't see anything change.
He lobbed a tech support grenade into your future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, well. Yeah. So this is part of that series, which I think that if I had come upon this when the same time I came upon Harvest Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I would have been into it, but it's like it's to me, this was like a significantly less, like this is all touch control gimmicks, basically the game. And it is like a more boring version of like a Harvest Moon. Like it is a daily chore simulator, but we live in a post Stardew Valley game world now.
Mm-hmm.
So why? Like, why would I do it? You know?
And I think that I, in general, I am more fond of survival games than you are. like, you know, I have fallen down many of those particular holes, you know, just a game where you start with nothing and you have to craft your first thing and then go out and find enough resources until you get over a curve. Like I'm into that.
I like survival games. Like I like them. I just don't think that I need, you know, I think there's like limited returns on just different variations of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like there can just be one, but this one just, you know, again, this felt really tedious and I did not like taking care of the blind girl.
Yes.
Like, it felt kind of gross to me how helpless she was, for one.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that she just kind of like stays back and cooks for you a little bit, the politics that don't necessarily feel great to me.
Yeah, I didn't like that part, and I didn't like having to do a dumbass DS interface thing whenever I did anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that is really irritating to me. Like, this felt like a genre that I also like. Like, I'm not trying to, like, no, I like it better.
No, in my head, I thought that you were, like, down on those generally. Maybe it's just that you don't like games with, like, crafting systems, stuff like that.
The survival are part of it. Like, I like First Night Minecraft. I like, you know, I like Don't Starve, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I think that is fun to kind of get those beginnings and start kind of building stuff like that. There are versions of that I do like.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. I just this version felt like it had a bunch of stuff tacked onto it that I didn't like.
Yeah. No, it very, very much is built, you know, directly into and around the DS. You know, go listen to our episode about Knights of the Nightmare to talk about just what a kind of dead end that touch interface style thing is. Yeah, literally, you know, most of the things that you end up doing have a little bit of a mini game assigned to them.
Yeah. And this is also part like dating simulator too.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about her being back at the camp cooking for you and doing your chores because she's helpless and blind, but also the ending and how romantic, like how she feels about you is determined how you treat her throughout the game. Like, there's this weird, like, there is definitely weird gender stuff through this that comes through. Like, I was looking through the message board.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here.
That'd be the, like, well, why is she so useless and dumb? And that kind of stuff.
Well, then not just that. So, like, that happens, which is awful, right?
Yeah.
But then this guy who's like, I was just discussing this game with my GF and is like, how could the dude wind up friend zoned on a desert island with a girl he's literally keeping alive? You know? And
shouldn't,
like,
she owe him?
Well, the game, it's like, on one hand, this dork Vader 6 years ago is wrong, but also that's what happens in the game. Like,
right.
The premise of the game is like,
yeah,
if you take care of this girl really well, she'll fall in love with you because you cracked open the right amount of crabs for her to eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like this weird, like, it's the survival, like, kind of idea, but without, you know, with a bunch of added cruft.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I like survival kids more. Then I like this, Lost in Blue.
Yeah. I think that I had a better, I had a better response to this just because, like, there is something about these games that even regardless of those complications, so I was like, I found the second person. I was like, uh-oh, here we are. But like it kind of hooks into a compulsiveness inside me that is not necessarily great. And it puts me into a satisfaction loop that I think, that I think, you know, brought me a little bit more joy in the 45 minutes that I play with it. To put it more, you know, I guess succinctly, you know, we talk about abject suffering games that we quit because they get too hard, quit because they're bullshit, quit because we think we get it, or quit because we ran out of time. I found myself putting too much time into this and it felt dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a daily routine simulator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it is not super, super different to me than, you know, when I mentioned Harvest Moon, like that's the, you know, the thing that this kind of feels like with a couple added complications by having this helpless waif.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, hey, manage your meters every day, you know, kind of thing. So it is about creating a routine, you know, and I can understand the appeal of that. Like that is something that will have an amount of appeal to me for a time.
Yeah.
Like, but it is, I think that you're probably right in that for me, at least, like it is a thing you have to be, it's more specific, you know, like I've never played a Animal Crossing for more than a couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, before I get bored of it. Whereas I can play something like I did play like fairly deep into like a Don't Starve.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
on the second go round when it came out with co-op mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like that made sense to me. There are other games that are similar to that are about that routine. Like I like Stardew. Yeah. I didn't have to have an intervention about it. Like I didn't have to have friends come up to me off of Stardew, but I like Stardew.
You didn't do what I did with it.
Yeah. I didn't do the 8 hours in a month or what have you that you did.
120, Gary.
Oh, yeah. 120 hours in a month.
Yep. I was depressed. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It's not. When we were at a PRGE, I was like, oh, I put in like 40 hours into Darkest Dungeon in 2 weeks, but it's actually 20 hours.
Right, right.
So it was not as bad as I thought. But I definitely understand like binging a game, mm-hmm. especially one that gives you a sense of that kind of satisfaction.
Yeah, a sense of purpose, a sense of something to work toward. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No. And so it also doesn't help that for me, like even from a young age, I've always been way into the survival story, like the survivalist thing. My young reading appetite was not just for dorky fantasy and stuff, like anything that starred a boy with gumption surviving in an unlikely situation, such as My Side of the Mountain. Hatchet was a real one for me. Voyage of the Frog, and then in sixth grade, based on my professed enjoyment of these, my teacher was like, hey, you should read Alive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the one about the cannibalism.
Yep.
Yeah. Those are some intrepid boys.
You're resourceful.
Those are resourceful boys.
Yeah, God gives you a human, make human aid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think if anything you could say about all the kids in Alive, like they were definitely resourceful. You know? Yep.
I thought that was a very tone deaf recommendation for a 12-year-old.
Oh yeah, yeah. That pretty cool though. Pretty baller.
Oh yeah.
Like to me, like as a 12-year-old, I wouldn't weigh into that because people ate people in it. You know, it'd be like it's like how Robin Hood was good because there are bows.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I can get into that kind of stuff. Not so much in fiction, but I do think there's that kind of scarcity that can be really fun in games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I like starting from nothing. I like the hard Scrabble section of a game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in general, and it is really fun to like make something work, like make a machine. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually, like I just have this routine. I've gotten this efficiency. Like it's kind of like a more complicated clicker.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like because it's about making systems efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to, you know, necessarily like the goal is always the same. Like there's always this goal. It's how efficiently you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is where the game part lies.
And that's taken it to an extreme in games that I cannot let myself play very much of, like Factorio or Satisfactory.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That combines those survival elements with optimization. There's this stuff that like. It's like Velcro. I've got the soft little woolly part in my head and they've got the hooks. I've got the loops. They've got the hooks.
Yep. Let's call the whole thing off.
Yep.
Yeah. But like I definitely understand the like dangerous, you know, the dangerous game.
Yes.
It'd be a fun, like it wouldn't be like a full topic for a dispatch, but that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
You know, like what games do you have to keep yourself away from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it will just be like, ah, oh, geez, like I will just lose everything to it.
Yeah.
You know,
high prison architect.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get that
yeah.
as a thing. Like it is not a good, to me, it's not a good feeling. Like I don't, I don't like going deep into something and I always like it when something I think is going to be like that, but I end up, it not being, and I get my joy out of it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was really worried, like for a long time, I was like, I'm not going to put Slay the Spire on Switch.
Right.
Slay the Spire will be that to me. And I played a lot of it when I was playing it. Like I played it every night for a couple weeks. And then like got everything I needed out of it and stopped. Mm-hmm. Like it went away.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't even like necessarily have an end game. Like I could keep climbing that mountain if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I set a goal that wasn't, you know, literally see everything and then stopped at that point.
Right. Right.
You know, and was able to tear myself away, but it was something where I was definitely scared of that. And that's whenever there's like a run based, like kind of roguelike that, is strategy based like that. Mm-hmm. I have that feeling of like, I could fall into a pit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, in this one, the big thing is, you know, you're managing your meters, for two. I'm managing for two,
mm-hmm.
Thirst, hunger, energy, and, the bicep. Like the third one, right.
It's like your endurance, like you get tired, you can't do a lot of like climbing and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you walk around picking up coconuts and stuff like that. The thing that was most irritating to me about this, and we already went on a rant about this, but every time you interact with something, it switches you into a bespoke touchscreen.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing. So like to start fires, to pick up coconuts, to to blow on fires, use the fucking microphone.
God, what a fucking dead end that was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I played this on an emulator because I didn't really feel like floating it onto the portable. And I had to I had to map a button for the microphone.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Just really silly, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, I guess, you know, I understand the idea is that's you're approaching some kind of immersion.
Yeah.
You know, through that. But I love buttons.
Buttons are good because here's the thing about a button, you know, you kind of know when it's pressed or not,
you know, you know how pressed it is, when it's been pressed, you know, the exact, you know, can, you know, just the me trying to drag a crab to the bottom of my screen in this and the crab getting away and me being like, this would be easier in real life was a really demoralizing thing. Like, I'm not a crab catcher or anything.
Well, you've owned crabs.
I have owned crabs and I've picked things up.
Uh-huh.
That was the big skill that I would bring to this that my avatar didn't have in the game.
Yeah.
Was lifting things. And it's like, I'm really good at picking up and putting down small objects.
Have you ever tried lifting something while you were really, really, really thirsty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have an escape hatch for that one. So
I'm perpetually dehydrated.
Well, most of us are.
Yeah. I certainly am. You know, most of my lifting is when I'm very thirsty.
Mm.
You know, but so that would end up being frustrating to me, but it's the basic. So the early part of this game, which I think is probably the cooler part before it becomes about the secret base that's on the island.
Yeah. Yeah.
In stealth sections, which I did not know were part of this until I read about them.
Holy shit. Really?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Like you have to get disguises and sneak past these guards that are in a compound on the island to steal one of their boats to get away and see if you've taken good care enough of this blind girl for her to fall in love with you. But the early part that is good is like you making your rounds, making increasingly like longer treks into the wilderness to get food and stuff while optimizing your system so that food goes further.
Yeah.
Back at the base.
Mm-hmm. Finding different things to make tastier meals and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was a big revelation when I found a patch of potatoes growing. I was like, fuck yeah. And take it back and, you know, give it to her to cook and she makes potato salad. And I'm like, hey, Sky, quick question. where are you getting the mayo for them bad boys, huh?
Yeah, where did you find a mayo plant?
I did not bring you any mayo pods to squeeze. Yeah.
You're blind. Anything you think is mayo, like, I don't want to eat. Like, you are legally blind.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need that. No. To be fair to the series, they leaned away from that. Like, in the future ones, you have, like, character selects.
Yeah.
And stuff, it looks like. It doesn't have the weird romance simulator.
Yeah.
Thing about it.
I was looking forward to, like, you know, because your position in these games, like you need to conserve your movement. I was looking forward to, like, maybe like jumping back and forth between them and having them do different things at different times. No, she just kind of like hangs back. And for me, she got so, like, she didn't get enough water from the stuff I brought her, so I had to like lead her down to the river to drink from it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she would be too thirsty to eat.
Too thirsty to eat. Mm-hmm. If you do beat this, you get Sky Mode, which allows you to play as her, which, one, you get her inner monologue about falling in love with you.
Fun.
But then two, she can't climb cliffs. So it like changes the game and makes it like way harder and more limited.
Huh.
Apparently. So. Yeah. Yep.
There's not an awful lot on game facts about this. Like, the facts are pretty straightforward, at least as far as I can find. And there are some there was one thread from 7 years ago saying, Hatchet, hey, anybody ever read that book?
Yes. That's very sweet.
Yeah.
There's a couple of weird, like, you know, it is very on topic.
Yeah.
You know, for the thing, like, this guy, you end up getting a nice little word salad, like this message board thing where it's, this goat should be beaten into submission, parentheses, plus milking, and parentheses, beating someone into milking is not great.
No.
Getting the milk is worth it, but damn, I can't figure out why this goat is so mad. I understand that's wild, but I've had it for over 2 weeks, and surely it can calm down now. Anyway, I want to share my technique for milking. Just grab a teat. Near the palm of the hand, pull down past the teat about hand length. A steady stream of milk should flow. If you have the left teat, aim it at the right center of the bottle bucket. You should then see the bottle filling up. Don't pull the teat too long. I usually let go when I see the goat's face steam once out of the corner of my eye, maybe 1 second or less. And the goat is just mad. It will get angry and kick you even if you do nothing. You're on a time limit. So, you know, you get to make creamed bottled milk stew.
Wouldn't that be a chowder? Wouldn't a cream stew be a chowder, Gary?
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
I just feel like the you know, if I was deserted on this island, I wouldn't be trying to make like creamed stews and potato salads. Like
right.
The dairy group can be gone from my diet for a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how about fruits and meats?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a while. Fruits and meats and vegetables.
Yep. Live off the fat of the sea, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's if you ever give any thought to, like, let's say, like, okay, cool, you're stuck on an island.
Okay.
Like, I just pluck you up exactly right now.
I dig myself a grave.
Yeah. Yep. Sand grave.
Yep.
I don't think I would make it for very long.
No. Water would be the hard one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I would immediately get like poisoned by some like bullshit water.
Oh
like,
yeah.
I would find water in a caldera or something like that. Yeah. You know?
Oh yeah. It's some water is traps, you know,
The main water safety thing I know is from the survivalist in the first bar in Fallout 1, who says that you shouldn't drink water that doesn't have bugs in it because it is probably irradiated.
Okay.
And that wouldn't apply to this island unless it was like Bikini Atoll.
Yeah, you know? Right, yeah. Yeah. So some places in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that'd be it. And I don't know. I'd get depressed. Like I get depressed and find it hard to get hard to wake up and get moving like in a house full of food and warmth and stuff.
Yeah.
So like if I was trapped on an island, I think morale would be a real problem. And I don't think that any number of readings of Swiss Family Robinson or Robinson Crusoe in my past will have like prepared me for that.
No yeah. Monkey butlers.
Yeah, precisely. You know, like not even the ones that the other monkey butlers train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. I sometimes think I would be okay at surviving in an urban zone because I don't think of myself as not resourceful.
Right.
Like if there's a problem in, you know, just around the house or something, I can, or out in the wild, I can usually think of a way pretty quickly to like get around it.
Yeah,
using resources. Mm-hmm. But if it's just sand and trees and boars, then I'm slime, like I am way less able.
Yeah.
You know, here.
Yeah.
And chippos.
and chippos. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're unless there's a bus to swim to, using an albuterol inhaler improbably as a rebreather. Hey Simpsons, what are you doing?
It's one of the weirdest, like, I like that episode for late Simpsons.
Right, right. You
know, by which we mean Solidy in the first third of the Simpsons. But the, that part is dumb.
Yeah, is not correct. My favorite gag in that, though, is in The Kids Were Blowfish. Finally Saved. The Blowfish is very good. And The Kids Were Saved by, let's say, Moe. Yeah.
I didn't know you meant the episode. I thought you meant that part.
Oh, yeah. Because
that episode also has the I'm so hungry I can eat an Arby's. Yeah.
Well, it also has the it tastes like burning, which I say four times a week.
Yeah. Real, real classic.
Yeah.
Chili cocoa beans. I've gone back. It's a good episode.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's good.
He just
says that one bullshit part.
Yeah, exactly. It has that dumb inhaler part.
Yeah.
Even though I do like that as part of the string of violence that's happening to Milhouse.
Oh, of course. I need that to live.
Glasses and immediately like using it to make a fire is very funny. Oh, Milhouse.
Oh,
he's going to die early.
Yeah.
Die young, like.
No. Milhouse would definitely die before me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would eat Milhouse.
Oh, yeah.
I would alive Milhouse. You know, who wouldn't alive Milhouse?
I mean, you're first to go.
Yeah, like Van Mutton. Hill House Van Mutton. can I tell you a thing that happened yesterday?
Yeah, I want to hear this. I saw like a log line description of it and I want to find out what got your goat.
And there's not like tons to it.
Okay.
But I came home from band practice. This is the reason I did peek behind the curtain. We recorded a little bit late today, and it's because I was planning on doing my preparation for this last night, but couldn't because I was like all adrenalized up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because some drunk guys were outside of my apartment.
Okay.
Last night I got home from band practice, and one of them was like, "Are you going to let us in?" And they were just kind of milling about.
Hmm.
You know. So I don't know. Like it's keyed entry.
Yeah.
In my apartment building, I don't know who these guys are.
Yeah.
So I was like,
it's not about you, but it's about everybody else. Like
totally. Yeah. So I'm like, in to do what? Do you guys live here? And then one of the guys, like, I live here. I'm like, okay. You know, so I come in and they followed me in. And one of the guys starts like getting really aggressive with me. Hmm. And he's like, yeah, I'm coming here to fuck everything up. And I'll fuck up every apartment here. I'm going to smash open this, and he points to the leasing office thing. And he's just like going on. And he's like, yeah, I make more money than everyone in this fucking building leasing properties to the elderly.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, so you as a real estate tycoon, yes. this is absolutely part of, it's part of every tycoon's day is mayhem.
Yeah. I didn't realize that he wanted to throw down on who leases the most properties, but I came to play, you know, like I came to win, in that. And he's like, he kept saying like, look at this fucker here asking questions. And then he called me the N-word.
and I'm sorry. So that's funny.
It was really bizarre. It's happened to me many times. I've been called that by crazy and or drunk white dudes before.
Okay.
And he starts like coming towards me to like fight. Like, and he's just like, then it was, so I found out like in other parts, the other dude who was quieter who lived here. And he was like, yeah, I lived here for 7 years, you know. And he's like, this is my brother, who is the one who was being a huge asshole.
Okay.
To me. And he was kind of like holding him back, right? But it'd been a minute since I almost got into a fight.
Yeah.
Or almost had, somebody come. And like, as I get older, that happens less and less.
Not necessarily. You're not. I mean, if you were, Gary, getting into situations where people were going to be fighting you a lot, yeah. I would have some.
Like once a month.
Yeah, I would have
Who's
some
the
words.
Problem there?
Yeah.
Is it me?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's me at that point.
Yeah.
So his brother, he's just like, it's my brother. And he's just like, I've lived here. He's lived here for 7 years. How long you fucking live here? Do you even live here? Like, really, really upset that I asked if they live here, and like. I don't know. Like maybe
seems like a reasonable question when you're like,
totally.
Especially when right after you
beat up some woman's door or something, or maybe they were going to like sleep in the hallway.
Yeah. Or just go around checking doors and see if they could get in. Crimes of opportunity. It happens.
Absolutely. Like, so, I mean, and they were very drunk, right? So they weren't like thinking straight, but it was just very weird to be confronted with that. Like I almost got into a fight energy like in my home, like in an area, like very safe, like not about.
It's where you get your mail.
It's where I get my mail. It's where I sleep. It's where I keep all my stuff.
Yeah.
I just hadn't. So it made me think of two things. Like one, it really like kind of fucked me up. Like I, it wasn't, nothing happened. I'm fine. But just getting that adrenaline rush of like, I might have to physically defend myself when you don't expect it is really, really off rhythming.
Yeah.
Like I was like, and the other thing it made me think of is like, who out there, if you're somebody out there who you get angry when you drink, stop drinking.
Yeah.
No one wants to be around you. Nobody likes that. Like, why would you choose to drink if you were the kind of person who gets angry when they're drunk?
Yeah.
Like there's three kinds of drunk. It's like happy drunk, like happy, sweet, great.
Yeah.
Super good. And then there's depressed drunk. I'll take it.
Yeah.
It sucks. I'll do it sometimes though, but like, you're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
There, but then like angry is the third type of drunk and it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So
generally like don't do anything that turns you into a situation that needs dealt with.
Yes.
And especially, in a way that implicates others. Of those, three, happy person, you can prop, you can get away from them pretty fine. If somebody's, but otherwise, you're annoying at best, right? Somebody's sad, depending on how bad it is, you might be like, hey, we need to get you into a place where you're going to be safe so you can fall asleep. That is only a problem if you really know the person. Angry. It affects literally, it's an AOE. It's like everybody in a mile radius of you, you are potentially a problem to them.
It's a societal problem.
Yes.
It's like, it was a weird, cause we had the episode where we talked about community and stuff, and that's not something I feel a lot, but I did have this feeling of like, I am in my zone, with this group of people who I live with. We have very little in common. We're not friends, but we're all responsible for the shared space.
Yeah. The thing that you owe to each other is to be good stewards of this space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And somebody just like really fucking this up in a way that was potentially violent, like over nothing.
Right.
Just because of alcohol. It just made me think like, I wouldn't do a drug that turned me into that.
No.
Like, who are these people who lack that self-awareness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what an asshole.
Yeah, no.
You know, and I'd never seen the guy before. If I'd seen him before, I wouldn't have said anything because I would have been like, yeah, this guy lives here. I'll just let him in. You know, but I'd never seen him before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now it's like, I'm going to see that guy and then he's going to have this awkward apology. And I'm like, yeah, you actually do have something to apologize for, but it's not going to do anything because it's your brother.
Yeah, don't.
And also, you know, you're intoxicated. Like, it's not you, but also it sucks because you chose to do that. Like, what is going on with you that, like, you have this asshole brother who gets violent when he's drunk and you still choose to drink with him, you know? I don't know. I just like, I had a real, like, I had a lot of feelings, like a lot of them related to like, get on my fucking level, asshole.
Yeah.
Like, join us in society.
Yep.
You know,
like, just like, don't be problems. Don't be a problem for somebody else.
Yeah. You unnecessary. Know? You know, this is not a, you know, this isn't you, you know, and the straw man out there is like, oh, you guys say it's okay to smash windows when you're protesting stuff. Different.
Yep.
This is somebody trying to pick a fight with me because he was drunk and he's not an aggrieved party.
Yeah, no.
Like, he had, you know, had nothing to be mad at me about or anything about other than just like, you know, his shitty life. Like that The Simpsons thing where all of the bully's parents are beating up on Homer. And it's like, this is for telling me how to raise my kid. And the guy goes, this is for the shitty life I've had to lead. I think about that a lot.
Yeah. You know? Yeah,
and that.
You know, generally, threats and violence toward property is not threats or violence toward people, you know, more generally, you know?
Yeah. Like, it would have sucked if he would have smashed open all the windows, you know, in the leasing office.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that, if he had done some property crime.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I also get, too, that there are people, you know, who deal with this, like, a lot, who are just like, yeah, they're just drunks. Like, that's how you deal with them, is you just ignore them, or you just, but man, I don't know. I can't, it is too hard for me to shrug off threats of physical violence against my person. I can't just be like, yeah, it's nothing. It's just talk.
I don't know that this is true, but you know, it's something that I definitely feel as a person with an anxiety disorder that, you know, anxiety necessarily, when you feel it, it dumps a bunch of cortisol into your, into your system, you know, I don't know what the opposite of an endorphin is, but like, I don't, you know, as I get older, the effects of that, the effects of having a bunch of a neurotransmitter dumped into my system, they last longer. It puts me off kilter for longer. So like, if I get in a near miss in my car, that spike of adrenaline, it does have an effect on me. Like, it will mess up my sleep that night. It will mess up my appetite, as it goes on.
Totally.
You know, and of course, because life is what it is, that doesn't happen with endorphins. Those actually those end up lasting for you know, a smaller amount of time in my system, because life is a 90 fucking
seconds.
Because life is a cruel
joke. Good about something, but if I feel threatened, like the last time something like this happened, I'm sure I told the story on this show, like I was going to get breakfast and a guy who was you know, and this was a different situation because it was a guy who was somewhere on the homeless spectrum, was either like a gutter punk, you know, style homeless, or genuinely, you know, a more further along homeless. I don't.
He was living rough in some form or fashion.
Living rough in some. Thank you. Yeah, that's the way to put it. I did not know exactly. Like, he did not fit the typical profile of people who I've seen who are homeless and everything like that. Like, he was younger and better dressed, but also really scuzzy. So he could have just been a dude in a house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who was just a scuzzball. Was asking me about something, and he was real mad that I had my headphones in. I was going into a restaurant, and then also like kind of like put up hands. You know, like was really mad at me about like yelling at me about something because I wouldn't stop and like talk to him. You know, about something. And like, I get that. Like, I understand the alienation that comes with that kind of stuff. And people are like, oh, I'm just a human. Like, you can't treat me like I'm not a human. We've talked about this a lot. Like, also though, I'm a human, and I'm not prepared for you right now. Like, I have my own mental struggles and my own issues.
There's a a proportionality to that too. You know, being ignored, you know, trying to get, you know, speak loudly to me, try and get my attention if my attention is what you want. You skipped a couple of steps directly to raising your hands to me.
Well, he eventually did get my attention, but he was already mad that I was walking with headphones. And then when I didn't, I was like, no, you know, I'm gonna keep going. Like, I didn't want to do whatever he wanted to do. And he wasn't specifically asking me for money. He was asking me for something else, but it wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like bleeding out with a stab wound.
Right.
Like that. Like, that was not the energy. This was a drug inspired anger.
Yeah.
Energy is what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, you know, raised hands against me. And then I went in, like, tried to eat and everything, and it like fucked up my appetite, and I ended up like being sick in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, from it, and like kind of fucked up my day.
Yeah.
Like, I just like the adrenaline just kind of made me feel like shit all day. And this was a similar thing. Like, I do not want to throw hands at somebody, especially not over anything.
Right.
You know, like, I'm sure we've talked about this as a thing on the show, that, like, there are things worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wasn't it.
Nope.
Like, what universe is this worth fighting for? You know, on either end, like, we don't even disagree, my man. It's nonsense. We have no ideological disagreement points here.
Yeah. Yeah. There is nothing to be gained.
Yeah. What do we want? Like, yeah, you know, what do you want and what do I want?
Yeah. Either, you know, there's nothing intangible or material that is to be gained by this course of action. Which means we default to doing nothing. We default to doing no harm.
Which is what happened. Yeah. Like, they just got on the elevator and then I just like pretended to check my mail so I didn't have to get on the same one.
Yeah.
That they were. And then I just waited a while to make sure I wouldn't like open up the elevator and have that dude there. But his brother was like holding him back. Like, he wanted to beat me up for like not letting him into the building. You know.
Well, then, I like the gall of that. Like, can you let me in? No. Do you live here? Okay, well, I'll let you in. And then he gets angry, saying, "Why wouldn't you let me in? I'm going to go mess up the leasing office." Well, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
you just show me why you have just demonstrated why somebody would not let you in.
Yeah, maybe you're a destructive drunk.
Yeah,
maybe you seem like you might accidentally get into a fight with me, and I don't want you in my house.
Yeah.
You know,
or there are a bunch of other people who are less capable of dealing with you that you will inflict some other kind of harm on.
Specifically, like in my apartment building, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a lot of people who are disabled or, you know, wheelchair bound and things like that in this place. You know, it is, you know, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Here. So it's just like, man, I need you here. And the flexes were all weird. Again, the like, I lease property to the elderly. I make more than, and that was a gross thing too, because the building, the reason why that is the building is like subsidized income. Like, my building is nice, but it is subsidized. Like, you, if you make a certain amount of money, you cannot live here.
Mm-hmm.
And him just doing the flex, like, I make more than everyone in this building combined leasing property to the elderly. Is such a weird flex and also just like gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a disgusting human being. I got to like, just be exposed to you for 5 minutes of my life of just like absolute trash. You know, what a trash person.
Yeah.
You know? So I had to shake that off and it fucked up my whole schedule. So I got home and I was going to do preparation, but I couldn't concentrate.
Yeah.
So I laid in bed and, you know, listened to a podcast.
Yeah. Reasonable. So, reasonable.
Yeah.
I have a similar story of excitement.
Tell me.
I went to Home Depot today and I got some stuff and I hung up a pegboard in my garage. So now my tools are more organized than they were before.
Oh, look, it's like you're playing Lost in Blue in your garage. You've optimized your system.
Yeah.
Now next time you have to use your tool, it'll happen faster.
Yeah.
And they'll eventually have those outlines around them. So you get to walk into your garage and go, wait a minute. Where is my saw?
Who the fuck took my number two Phillips head screwdriver?
And then that's when you get stabbed in the ankle with a number two Phillips head screwdriver.
Yep. Yeah. No, you know, down I go.
Moments beforehand and then dragged into the bottom of the garage, into the under garage, which you did not know existed.
Nope. No,
you know, where the under garage fellers live.
Yep. They've been watching me. They've been listening as I walk around on the slab. Yeah.
They take bits of your clothes. They've sewed themselves a Cole outfit, which is really silly because your top half and bottom half are all the same material.
Right.
So you don't have to sew them from scraps.
Nope.
But they've sewed themselves a Cole outfit and they're going to go up and pretend to be Cole several of them kind of going through various motions of your life. Very similar to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Huh.
While you are tied up and then Greta's tied up onto a smaller chair next to you.
Oh, they dress up as another Greta.
Yeah, they have a dog dressed up as Greta.
Now I'm sad. Sorry, it went too far. Now I'm sad.
It was cute.
It was cute, not sad.
It was making it more cute that they did a little cat version of it.
Okay.
Because it's less scary because you don't want them upstairs alone with Greta.
No.
You know, that's scarier than her being down there with you. You guys could formulate a plan.
No.
You know, together.
Yeah.
Greta escape plan. Greta, like a cat would be real useful on a desert island if they obeyed things.
Well, yeah, no. And if they...
Go catch me some coconuts.
I'm wondering which would go feral first, me or her.
Yeah. I think that would actually be a good way to get lost on an island, where you just sacrifice yourself to your cat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you become the Milhouse and just let yourself get eaten by Greta.
Eyes first, baby. I don't want to see what you're going to do to me.
Yeah. Let me knock myself out on this boulder. Mm-hmm. And then you can just go to town. You know, I just need to make sure I don't wake up with no fingers. Yeah. Just fingy bones, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be a good way to go.
I think so. All you want to be is useful.
Yeah. Yeah. Go out to the forest and just become like an ecosystem, like mm-hmm. a whale on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Whale fall. Yeah. Coal fall.
Yeah.
Coal fall. There's a coal fall.
Yeah. Yeah, coal is washed. Coal is washed up on the beach. We have to use TNT to get rid of it. system. But like, that would be, in a desert island, at least the cat could make use of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be sad though for the cats too, because it's like, I don't know, Pocket talks a big game, but he couldn't handle desert island life.
You don't think so? You don't think he could just go like, you know, just kill all the crabs?
I just think it, like, boar one would be a real problem for him.
Boar one would be a problem, but cats are fast is the thing.
They are fast, and boars are surprisingly fast, but that does not equate to being cat fast.
Right.
You know, surprisingly fast when you expect them to be like, mm-hmm. if you're expecting a Pumbaa,
right.
then it's fast. But if you're expecting, you know, a boar, it's not actually that fast.
Right.
Yeah. He could maybe escape from the boar.
Yeah.
You know, live off the scraps the boar left behind.
Yeah.
That'd be all right.
I think a cat can find a niche. I mean, like, you know, cats are apex predators, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, people talk about, like, oh, they decimate bird populations and stuff. Like, you know, they get outside. Like, I don't know.
A lot of birds on the island.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, there are going to be some birds there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do pretty well, I guess.
When I think about, I don't know, the only time I ever see a dead cat is on the road. I think that the only thing that kills cats in society is humans. Accidentally mm-hmm. on purpose. So
yeah
and I'm sad again.
Oh, because of the birds.
The birds and the cat,
they're sustaining Greta.
I know.
In this scenario,
I'm also sad about the cats to get hit by the cars.
Yeah, that is sad. That happens on another island, but it is sad.
Yeah, it's like it's like right next door. We're talking about like Governor's Island. Yeah, the island's Manhattan. Oh, so also the island that we are stranded on is Governor's Island.
This whole time was Manhattan. Yeah. The real jungle.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're those guys now.
Yeah. We are Tim Allen in Jungle to Jungle.
Yep. Jungle for Jungle. Yeah. the Craigslist EDM section.
Oh, Jesus.
Anywho.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you to Gabe.
Yeah. Thank you
for suggesting this. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Fertile discussion topic, survival.
Indeed. If you would like to suggest or a game for us, you can go to www.abjectsuffering.com. If you would like to demand a game, you can become a patron by going mm-hmm. to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah.
And kicking us some money.
Yeah. If you kick $5, get 2 extra episodes of the show per month. In addition to other things like premium episodes to watch out for fireballs, Bonfireside Chat rekindled. There we go. Mm-hmm. And at $10, you get access to everything, which includes, I think, more than 75, maybe mm-hmm. pushing on 80 now, premium episodes of this show.
Quite a few.
All of them at once. We call it the fire hose for a reason.
Indeed. And we appreciate your support. You also get the satisfaction of knowing you're helping out your boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really support it. And I think until next time, that's probably good.
Think so. Go and scrounge for some tails and then mail them to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Scrounge for tails.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.